We're here to talk about fasting today. Usually I'm very zealous, and I was thinking about it, and the Lord really brought it to my attention. It was kind of funny that, you know, normally I love, you know, the fire, you know, and thinking about it, it was like all the involvement that I've been involved with the Pentecostals, you know, where I was thinking, man, it would be so cool if we actually had like a wooden platform up here, because glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus, you know. I love that. And that's just, that fire that burns in me, you know. So awesome. But today I want to just kind of slow it down a little bit. I just want to talk about fasting, the importance of fasting, why we fast. God has called his people to fast in the past. We read in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 talks about the good and bad of fasting. And I'll talk more about that later. But the prophet Joel in 1:14 called a fast, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord, your God, and cry out to the Lord. So what is fasting, right? What is fasting? Why do we fast? Well, fasting is to abstain from food. It's a voluntarily abstinence from food. In the Greek, forgive me, but some of these hard words, but it's niesto, to abstain as a religious exercise from food and drink. If the fast lasts a day or longer. As we look into scriptures in the Old Testament, the Israelites fasted. They fasted on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was the most holy day. And it's in Leviticus chapter 23. What was the point of it? It was a day which in people fasted and went without food. They refrained from work and humbly chose to submit to God. This response emphasized the seriousness of sin and the fact that atoning sacrifice was effective only to those who were truly repentant, truly remorseful, committed to rejecting sin and returning to God, being faithful to God. As we read on, Jesus Christ in the New Testament said, Jesus fulfilled the law, and there's no specific day that we must fast. So we have to understand that Jesus fulfilled the law, right? So there's no specific day like the Day of Atonement. You know, we're not under that burden or under that law anymore. But Jesus actually gave us the specific instructions on fasting, right? So we read in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, okay? Moreover, when you fast, do not be like hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father sees in secret, will reward you. The reward would be more of him, the Father. We should seek to please God and fulfilling God's purpose in all that we do. Our reward is his will in our lives to be activated, receiving his power and anointing. It's to be able to hear him clearly. When we truly love him and experience God in our lives, all we want is more. I mean, speak that like, more, Lord, more of you. Come fill me up with more of you. Lord God, praise you, Jesus. We ache as we long for more of Jesus. And Jesus spoke in Matthew 9:15. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. We fast seeking more of Jesus as he is at the right hand of God. Storing up treasures in heaven is accomplished by all acts of obedience. So Can and will God bless us? Yes, with a pure heart and pure desires. As we read in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in the scriptures in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, Jesus criticized the religious leaders, most notably the Pharisees, for a particular form of hypocrisy, doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. So they would fast for the wrong reasons, to be people pleasers instead of God pleasers. Fasting with prayer has several purposes: to honor God, to humble ourselves, and to put spiritual concerns above our desires in order to experience more of God's power. Yeah, I could say that again. So fasting and prayer, okay, those two go together. They're hand in hand. Fasting and prayer has several purposes: to honor God, to humble ourselves, and to put spiritual concerns above our own desires in order to experience more of God's power. And then also to mourn over our personal sins, to mourn over the sins of the church, nation, and world. And that's, in the Old Testament, you'd see the prophets, you know, they'd fast and pray, you know, for specific reasons, right? Christ taught the need of purity and simplicity of motive. When the word "win" that Jesus spoke of is that Christ assumes that his disciples will fast regularly. To assume is to believe or accept that something is true and exists. So one of the purposes of fasting is to humble ourselves to God. Fasting is a scriptural means chosen by God for us to humble ourselves before him. Throughout the Bible, God required his people to humble themselves before him. In 1 Peter 5:6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So what is the definition of fasting? To make humble to or lowly of mind, to abase pride, to reduce arrogance and self-dependence, to give a low opinions of one's moral worth, to make meek and submissive to the divine will. Humility is recognizing and acknowledging my total dependence upon the Lord and seeking his will for my every decision. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. As we fast, we are acknowledging that God is our King, our God, and we submit our life to him. Our desires, our will over to him. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that is a physical act. So we humble ourselves over to the will of God in all things pertaining to our lives. There are several Hebrew words that are translated to humble. One is anav, A-N-A-V, which means to stoop, to be downcast, to bow down, to be afflicted, to weaken oneself. Another Hebrew word is kana, K-A-N-A, which means to bend the knee, to be brought into subjection or subdue. Another word that goes with humble is meekness. Meekness is yielding our rights to God so he can demonstrate his peace and power through us. The greatest reward is becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our desire, to become more like him. That is our purpose for serving him. to do the things that he did. Jesus fasted. He fasted before he began his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. If Jesus, being God, fasted, I believe we are to fast also as his children. What would be in our heart or our flesh to make us think, I don't need to fast? Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lowly there in Greek is taponinos, where we get lowly in spirit, again, humble. That word even speaks of not rising far from the ground. Thus, there is more we understand and develop meekness. The more we take on the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't this our goal? That we become like Jesus. Jesus began his discourse on discipleship by the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, the opposite of humble, you know what it is? It's pride. Pride is a self-esteem, unreasonable, conceited of one's own superiority and talents, beauty, wealth, or accomplishments. Pride in Greek is, I'll just spell it out, H-U-P-E-R-E-P, or E-P-A-N-I-A. It's G-5243. It's haughtiness, disdain, arrogance, the characteristic of one with a swollen estimate of his own power or merits and looks down on others. If we read scripture, God does not like pride. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? For there is more hope for a fool than for them. And Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is believing that we have achieved what God and others have done for us and through us. Pride is reserving for myself the right to make my final decisions. Pride is building all of life around me and my wants. Fasting suppresses the flesh and the pride that is in us as we fast to seek the divine will of God. The Lord put this on my heart. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar? Well, God called him into a fast into the wilderness to suppress his flesh. After he said in Daniel chapter 4, verses 30, and the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power and royal residence for the glory of my majesty? You know what God's response was? Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. You shall be driven out from among men, and your dwelling shall be among with the beast of the field. During the time of fasting and believing being in the wilderness, it humbled him. It suppressed his flesh. As you see in verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him who lives forever. Our desire should be to be completely prideless, to be able to be completely guided by God through the Holy Spirit. The goal of the Apostle Paul was to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Amazing scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. What was the thing? But what things were gained to me? These things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So powerful. Paul acknowledged his imperfections and the need for growth. These verses reveal the apostle's heart and the very essence of Christianity. Paul's greatest longing was to know Christ and to experience his personal presence and his compassion more intimately in every way. What do you think helps us to achieve that? Fasting does. It acknowledges my imperfections to God, any sin that is in me. We pray, Lord, I open my heart and voluntarily say, reveal what is in me that is not of you. And Lord, reveal anything that I need to repent of. And I know from my personal experience that when I fast, the Holy Spirit shines light on things that I need to get rid of and repent of. This helps us to become less like the world and more like Christ. Fasting is seeking answers from God. Fasting prepares us for his will and for his plan that is ahead. Fasting sets our heart to voluntarily to say, yes, Lord, to your will. I submit to you and your plan. Realizing this is not about our strength or will or power. It's about seeking God's will, power, and strength. What are the rewards that he gives? His free and unconstrained grace. The free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of everything we need, which is all the benefits people receive from him. Fasting is an assistant to prayer. It comes for a specific request we're making to God. It expresses the earnestness of a specific reason for the fast. It is a plea to God with an added intensity for our normal everyday life. Fasting is an act of faith and trusting in God. Fasting is special because it's showing the Father, okay? I'm going to say it again. Fasting is special because it is showing the Father that we enjoy him more than the pleasures that he's blessed us with. Matthew 23:12, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I love this because as we humble ourselves, God exalts us. I love the definition of exalt. Yes, it is to a value, elevate in power, wealth, rank, or dignity. It's also to refine, exalt. God refines us. So by exalting us, he's refining us. It's also important to understand the need to fast during times of distress or trouble. It is an act of spiritual warfare. King Jehoshaphat called for a fast in all Israel when they were about to be attacked by the Moabites and the Amorites in 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 20, verse 3. In response to Jonah's preaching, men of Nineveh fasted and put on sackcloth, Jonah 3, 5. Prayer and fasting was often done in times of distress or trouble. David fasted when he learned that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in 2 Samuel 1, 12. Nehemiah had a time of prayer and fasting when he learned that Jerusalem was still in ruins, Nehemiah 1, 4. Darius, the king of Persia, fasted all night when he was forced to put Daniel in the lion's den. We fast when we go or send believers on a mission trip or as a specific things that are a need for God's power and discernment. The church of Antioch fasted and Paul and Barnabas when Paul and Barnabas went off on their ministry trip. Paul and Barnabas spent time in prayer and fasting for the appointment of the elders in the church in Acts 14:23. When we fast, we are seeking God's will and power and authority. It is giving God the chance to move and make his very own decision, not ours. We are submitting to his will. Does God honor a fast? Yes, he does. He blesses those who obey him and seek him with all their heart and his will. So back to Matthew 6:33. So think when you fast, am I fasting according to his will and his heart? And Isaiah 58 teaches us about a fast that pleases God. In the first part of this chapter, it speaks of false fasting or an insincere fast that is coming from a prideful heart. These people in Judah were going through the motions, and they acted as if they desired to know God and follow God. Yet, at the same time, they were living in rebellion against God. They were complacent and unresponsive to his commands. Even churches today, congregations may have a desire to follow God, but at the same time, after the church settings, their lives look no different to the people of the world. So in verse 58, Isaiah 58:3, you read, "Why have you fasted?" they say. "And you have not seen. Why have you afflicted our souls and taken no notice?" God's people were complaining that he would not help them. God knew their hearts. He knew their worship and fasting were just insincere actions. It did not come from a pure heart. God reminds them that no religious act has any value to him. If it doesn't come from someone who humbly tries to obey God and who compassionately reaches out to the people in need. So Isaiah 58, 6 through 7. You read the fast that pleases the Lord. Is this not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring you good and to bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. This is the fast that God has chosen for us, to have his heart, to demonstrate his heart through our lives, being devoted and being his representative as he is at the right hand of the Father. Demonstrating true love for God and a sincere concern for the welfare of others opens a channel for God's blessing to pour into our lives. What are the rewards for a faith-filled servant of Christ that has a heart of compassion and is fully submitted to Jesus Christ and in a never-ending pursuit to become more like him? That's what we're on. We're on a never-ending pursuit. It never ends. Number one, the light of God. The light is an outward physical sense of the very nature of Jesus Christ, his wisdom, his power, his character, and his glory. The light that is in us having a positive influence on others as his favor is working upon us and through us. Number two, healing and restoration. We have healing and restoration in our personal lives. In return, we are able to impact others as we are living testimony for Jesus Christ. And the ability to heal others as Christ is working through us as we are faithful to him. Number three, God's protection and his very presence being upon us. As we are in his will and plan, okay, we can trust him to protect us. As we serve him and seek him with all our hearts, his very nature and presence is emanating out of us because we are so connected to his heart. So people that have gone on missionary trips or trips to other countries understand that as we are in God's plan and God's will, we have protection. God's help through answered prayer. Every time we pray, God the Father is listening. How amazing is this, that the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God, listens to the prayer of a righteous person. In James 5:16, in it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much.
I would say also with fasting, God also finds an ear that's available. It's not just his ear it's not just him that hears, but I think we are heightened in our hearing to hear from God.
Amen. Absolutely. So good. Okay, number five, the relief from spiritual darkness and oppression. As we go through spiritual attacks and warfare, our biggest gun in our arsenal that God has given us is fasting. As we fast, our eyes, our heart, our mind are focused on the Lord God, and we get power we need as we're going through the hard times. James 4:7, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Number six, God's guidance, strength, and productiveness. As we fast, we are connected to him so we can get direction. We receive strength for the next thing God has for us. And as we have his strength and guidance, we become productive for his kingdom, his harvest. Number seven, we receive true spiritual revival and restoration in our own lives and the lives around us. As we fast, we are receiving a soft heart for the Lord, suppressing the flesh, which in return creates revival. As we fast corporately, then it creates a corporate revival. Fasting should not be a drag. I shouldn't be, right? I was thinking, you know, this really spoke to me. This man, I spent a lot of time working on this, and man, God was really showing me. But it shouldn't be like, ah, man, I gotta fast. It should be amazing and exciting time because we are receiving more of the Almighty God, His power, His strength, His wisdom, His relief, armor, and destroys all unbelief that is in us. Like the doctrine of divine healing and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the truth of fasting has been neglected. Many have even forgotten the doctrine of fasting. The truth of fasting is being revealed to us now, that in these latter days, the power and glory of God will be manifesting in divine signs, miracles, and wonders. That we may receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the mighty revival to sweep over our nation and the world. Fasting is the most potent power of the universe and is placed at our disposal of every believer. A transformation in the body of Christ will begin. As Christians begin to fast and pray, seeking God with a pure heart. Fasting should not be a time of just going through the motions. Fasting should not be a time where I just check it off the box and say, I fasted today. Lord, bless me, I fasted. That's not fasting. Fasting is not like watching TV, listening to secular music, going to whatever. Fasting is a time to seek God. Fasting is completely submitting to God. So when we fast, we should be reading our Bibles, be down on our face, seeking the divine will of God. We should be opening. Fasting is a time to open our hearts and our mind to what God wants us to lead us to. It's not to check off a box. It's actually to seek God. I've heard it said, and I'm going to talk about this book, but it says that if you fast 40 days without water, all unbelief will be wiped out of you. I haven't done it myself, but man, it would be, I want it. I desire it completely. I so desire it. I've done quite a long days. I've done days and days and stuff and weeks and stuff, but never 40 days. Man, that would be amazing. Oh, Shatta, Lord, please allow me to have it. Okay. So in this book, Atomic Power with God, is a book about fasting by Franklin Graham. He has two books out. Read them. If you're on your heart to learn about fasting, those two books that Franklin Hall put out, they're like from like the 60s or 70s or something like that. Don't quote me on it, but they're like older. Franklin Hall. It's called The Atomic Power with God about fasting. It's awesome. So here's a quote. It says, "But greater still and more potent is the spiritual atomic power with God that lies available to every Christian. The scientists can now use and harness the power of the material atom. But the Christian can use and harness the divine, the dynamic power of the creator of the atom. As the creator is greater than that which he created, so is the power wielded by the Christian through fasting and prayer greater than the wielded by the scientist. So it is the purpose of this volume to show the Christian a sure method whereby he may obtain the mighty power, may be able to move the omnipotent hand of God. This will be our spiritual atomic jet propulsion power. That's awesome. Think about it. There's things in this earth like the nuclear bomb, right? That scientists created, right? But God created the technology. God created all the atoms. God created it. So us as Christians, when we are fully connected and submitted to God through fasting, that power is wielded in us, through us. Because God is in us. So as we submit to God, He's working through us. As we fast, we're not forcing God to do anything. It's not like we're twisting His arm and saying, "Do this for me." That's not it. It's walking by faith, believing and trusting that moves the hand of God. It gets Him excited when we walk out our faith. He wants to move. He wants to move mountains for us. There are conditions, though, He has laid out. And one of those most powerful is fasting. There's conditions. When we fast and pray, it is seeking Him, being obedient and submitting to Him, knowing where our true atomic power comes from, the Lord God Almighty. So I come to you today. I ask you, who is with me with this fasting? Who is going to have a lifestyle of fasting? These are questions that I just want to pour into you to ask yourselves. Who wants the power of God working and moving in their lives? I know I do. This year I have been devoted to be a year of fasting. I started this year with a 21-day fast, and now the Lord's placed it on my personal life to fast one day a week. And the purpose of me fasting one day a week is because I work in a secular job. I'm surrounded by people all day that are not Christians. And so I need to have that flesh and the world suppressed in my life. So when I fast, I'm just saying, "Lord, just condition me to keep moving." I'm not saying that I'm not going to do another long fast, but I'm just saying as my weeks and my lifestyle is just having a day of fast during the week, it just keeps that condition, keeps our spirit life just focused on God, right? Because we're not only are today, like Sunday, we come to church, which is awesome, but we also need to have that intimate time with God and just quiet time, just seeking Him, reading our Bibles, just submitting, "Yes, Lord, what is Your will, Lord? What is Your plan? I submit to You, Lord. What is in me that is not of You? Lord, reveal it to me. Is there anything in me that I need, that You need to help me with, Lord? Father me, chastise in me, guide me to what Your will is." And I can honestly tell you, God has done that to me in my personal life. Like just Friday night, I can tell you, Friday night, I thought, okay, Friday night, it's worship time. It's going to be amazing. I've been working hard all week and just studying. And man, glory to God, it's going to be awesome. I start worshiping. You know what happened? The Lord's like, you need this and this and this taken out of you. And I was like, man, Lord. You know, I was like, dang. You almost get like, you have that conversation. Like, man, Lord, like you have to do this now? But that's a relationship. You know what He told me? He said, "You are not an orphan. I am your Father. I'm not here to wreck you. I'm only here to lift you up and for your character to be more like Mine." So fasting does this. Fasting just opens, as we do, okay, you have to be voluntarily, okay? You have to really say, "Lord, whatever it is, that I voluntarily just open all me up." Remember, this is really coming to my heart real fast. I love the scripture. I was just teaching yesterday on Hebrews, right? I love this. Okay. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine, or excuse me, even to the division of the soul and spirits, and to the joints and marrow, that is the discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. That's what fasting does. Fasting just opens ourselves up. There is stuff that is in us that we don't even know. Like, everything's fine, right? Everything's good. I'm Christian, everything's good. But when we fast and we humbly seek God, God just says, look what's in the marrow of your bones, right? And that's when you're like, oh, man, Lord, oh, it got me, you know, right? But it's good. It's good because our character is becoming more like Jesus. But we have to volunteer and say, yes, Lord, whatever it is in me, remove it. I don't want it. I don't want to have pride. I don't want to have arrogance. I don't want to have, you know, judgmental thoughts or, you know, any of these things. I want to love people as you love people. So that's what fasting does. Ojalá turma. Okay, so I just ask any of you or all of you that want to devote their lifestyle to praying and fasting, just that we can come together in prayer, okay? If you would, just take this moment that we can fast together. And if it's on your heart, then please, you know, just open yourself to God. It's not like you have to raise your hand or come up here or anything. This is just a personal thing between you and God, okay? So I'm just going to, the Lord put this prayer together for me to speak today, and I'm just going to pray it. I know it's going to be a prayer for myself, but anyone else that wants it, just pray with me, okay? Lord Father, we come to you and ask you to lead us to the power of fasting, to not let anything hinder a lifestyle of praying and fasting. Lord Father, help us and release your power and your mighty hand upon our lives as we devote our lives to praying and fasting. Lord Father, as we seek you with all our hearts, praying and fasting, create a revival in our own lives and the lives around us. May we have a positive influence to our church, our neighbors, our country, and our world as we are devoted to serving you more in our lives. Give us the power and the gifts of you, Holy Spirit, to better serve you. May you open the windows of heaven upon us in mighty ways. May we see your mighty fire from heaven being dispersed upon each of us. Lord Father, we come to be mirrors. When people would see us, we would see you. In Mark chapter 16, it says, these signs will accompany those who believe. So, Lord Father, we come to you and ask, Lord, that as we devote our lives submitting and having a lifestyle of fasting, I pray, Lord, you create those revivals in our own lives and that we would be your ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven, laying hands on the sick, raising the lepers, healing the sick, and casting out demons, Lord. So, Lord, Father, we pray, Lord, more of your glory, more of your presence working through us and in us, Lord. May we hear your voice so clearly, Lord, and you would reveal to us what is in us that is not of you, Lord. And I pray that you would lead us and guide us to be the ambassadors that you've called us to be. So, Lord, Father, we come to you fully submitted to your will in our own personal lives. Lord, Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Awesome.
I love what he's sharing here. And it is a personal decision that each of us gets to make with God. It's not anything that none of us will go to hell if we never fasted a single day in our life. But just like what he touched on at the very end, to me, hit me. None of us wants to do church without the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power, right? Nobody here does. We all want that. There is a power that's in the fast that you can't get anywhere else. We can't get that anywhere else. So why would we not want that? That's a paradigm shift. That there is a power that's available to us that it's actually not available to us with the Spirit. The Spirit can help us, I think, but I don't read that in Scripture that there is a power in fasting that you can get through the Spirit. There's a whole new thing in Isaiah 58 talks a lot about some of that stuff, and he says when you do that, and then it says then. So to me, that's a picture there that you're putting it in a bank account, sort of. You're banking up your fast. Because if you have a trouble today, fasting today is probably not going to help that. It's what you've done in the past. It's your history with God that helps your now. And you're creating your future by your now. Does that make sense? Bill Johnson puts it a lot better than that because he's way more eloquent than I am. But it's... if you're fasting for today, you're a day late. And that's why it's good to consider the words that Jonathan spoke about fasting and prayer, because I don't think you do either one of them separate. It's you do it both together, because you can't fast and not talk to God and expect something to happen. It's just, So anyway, great job.
That was so solid, man. And thank you for putting everything you did into that teaching. So solid teaching, so well-rounded. You touched on so many things and what fasting is and what fasting is not. So that was powerful. Thank you. What's really funny is while you're like, did anyone else notice the irony of like during, like while he's teaching on fasting, the aroma of like, what's coming out of that crock pot, man? Who put something in the crock pot? Was it you guys? Is it chili? That thing is like, man, like while it's going, this is perfect. I just want to request that we just open up the floor for a minute, because I just feel like some folks might have something to ask or add to that. So if you do, please do. And you know, why don't you grab the mic and see if there's anything there.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, come on up here. Come on, sister, come on up here.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, and I've done this before, I started a Daniel fast, no meats, no sweets, no bread for 40 days. Well, the first 40 days was blessed, but I certainly didn't feel or think that I had come anywhere near accomplishing what I was looking to accomplish with the Lord. And I mean that by saying that I wanted a closer walk with him. I wanted to hear him better. I wanted to study his word and read the Bible and just more concentrated. There we go. So I said, okay, 40 more days. I'm dedicating them to you, Lord. I'm telling you, you cannot do a fast and not have something happen. Something's going to happen.
Right. Can I add to that, though?
Yes.
Never, ever, ever should we base that, the results of that on our feelings.
I agree.
So, but yes. Because clearly something's happened in you.
Yes, right. Yes. And something did happen.
Yeah.
I discovered I needed more.
Yeah.
More, please. So then I'm probably close to halfway through the second fast. I think I'm a couple days to halfway. And two really cool things have happened. One, yes, I'm much closer to him. I can hear him better. I'm reading. It's so much easier to be dedicated. The things that I was looking for in the first fast. Okay. But also, all hell is broken loose everywhere around me. And just this week, I said, Lord, let me pray and change the atmosphere of this property I'm at, because it is obscene. And SWAT team showed up. And so, but in that, he just spoke to my heart. He said, I've got you. I've got you. You're going to see how I do things, not how you do things. So that's my, I'll let you know at the end, if it ever ends.
That's so good. That's one thing I just want to touch on too. When we fast, we're not, it's not like, Lord, I'm a fast and I want you to give me a brand new car. No, we can expect things to happen, but we're not like, the reason why we're fasting is not to accept gifts. I mean, we are, it's hard to clarify that, because it's like, we are expecting gifts, but him, you know, it's him. It's more of him and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? Just like when Jesus fasted before he went in his ministry, he fasted 40 days. Right? The Holy Spirit came upon him. He fasted 40 days and then he went into the ministry. Right? So it's not like that's why I said when, in the beginning of this, he just assumes it. It's not like it's a commandment to fast, but he does assume, he's assumed that we're going to fast, you know? He knows it's a benefit for us.
I don't mean to hog the mic, but when, it just came to me again here that, we're not looking for gifts from God. However, there's a reward system in heaven, and how much is that reward with fasting and without fasting? Do you see that there's a trajectory in our fast that puts us on a path where more people are influenced in your world as opposed to not, if the fast wasn't there. Maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, but do you want to take the chance? When you know you got two mountains of power here and they're both separate, but you got them both if you want them both.
That's true. That's like, how many of us want to be used by God? Man, there's, okay, boom, 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 right? So fasting is what prepares us for that. Do you want that glory? I know I do. Do you want that power? You want that, like, man, I want to see, this is my heart, okay? I know you guys don't really know me personally. You just see me here, but this is me all the time. Honestly, I mean, I'm not boasting. It's just, I just love Jesus, man. And honestly, I want more of him. I read books, okay? I taught on the book of Acts. You know how amazing that was? Man, they were so committed and devoted and serving God. I mean, that's what he wants. That's the heart of Paul. Paul's all, I count everything around me as rubbish. Right? And I started thinking, I've been thinking about this like for days now. Like, God's blessed me with a nice, you know, decent car. And then I'm driving, I'm like, it's rubbish. Really, right? Because I want that heart. I want to see interpretations of tongues. I want to see like the mighty, like somebody coming in here and, I don't know, speaking in foreign languages and people just, man, I want to see that stuff. Don't you want to see that stuff? We all want to see that stuff. So as John was speaking, John was saying, can you totally function and be normal and have that amazing Christian lifestyle without fasting? Everyone agree? You can. You can. Totally, right? And you can have blessings and you can have that power and Christ working in your life and everything like that. And it's great. But who wants to have that supernatural life with Christ? Who wants to put that supercharger on that engine? Right? That's what it's like. You know, it's like, yeah, wind me up, Lord. Let's do this, right? I want to slay, like you were talking about, slaying dragons. And, you know, you were singing today. That's what it's about, right? Anyone else got anything to add? It's super fun.
Just a quick proposal, John. What if, because I like that, the award system or the rewards, What if another way of saying that is that with two Christians, they've both been awarded or rewarded the fullness of Christ in the same way, but one Christian is getting the flesh out of the way and is able to experience and live that reward to a greater measure. It's kind of another way of saying it. Either way, it's about that perspective and getting the flesh out of the way so that we can actually walk by the Spirit.
That's what it's about. It's getting that flesh out.
You know, the scripture is clear. Seek first the kingdom of God. However that happens, seek first the kingdom of God. He'll lead us into the things that he wants us to participate in. And so we're studying the Beatitudes right now. And it really is so good. There's an emptying out that occurs that I think kind of bypassed us in the initial, you know, I don't have to be poor. I don't have to mourn anymore. I mean, look what he's done for us. And yet there's something infinitely much deeper. The fast is certainly a part of it. And I believe in the fasting. Nobody should know you're doing it. That's where I am.
I mean, it's both. You can definitely be fasting together as people. Yeah, or you can be fasting personally and not wanting anyone to know. It's both. So don't be afraid of, like, you're fasting and it slips out. You know, don't be feeling like, oh crap, you know, this is all ruined. You know, right. We don't fast to, like, you know, like that's the fast we were talking about earlier. The hypocrites, you know, they're putting ashes on them and tearing their clothes and look at me, I'm fasting. That's totally different.
You know, I had a Pastor Polly, a lady that I work for underneath in community outreach for Denver, taking the coats to the homeless at David Clifton Ministries. And she said a couple of years back that she was given a car. She needed a vehicle, and she goes to teach at the Denver correctional facility on Havana and I-70, and I kind of am one of her workers there. And so she said that again, like the yesterday. She just said, my car is messing up, and I need a new car, and I'm going to believe for another car. And this fast that they're asking, you know, well, they're presenting as a foundation for us to know what it is, what it's not, the things that we can fast for. The Word of God tells us that as your faith is, so be it unto you. And I'm kind of in between homes right now, and I am looking for employment. And as crazy as it's been, I've put out thousands of resumes on a weekly basis, and people will make their comments that I'm not doing enough and I'm not doing this, but I'm not getting the bites back for employment. And so in my head, rationally speaking, you have to have a job in order to get a home. But God said he was going to provide a home for me. And so I was kind of coming under conviction this week. And I said, okay, Lord, maybe I'm just living in my box. And however you're going to do it, I'm asking you to increase my faith to believe your will for my life. So as they are presenting this fast information to you, and the need a few weeks back was presented about praying and fasting for what God has for this church. This church has been powerful for me. The people have been powerful for me. And I believe that you're on cutting edge ground to help so many other people out there. So I'm asking you to ask the Lord to not allow you to limit him and increase your faith to believe whatever it is. And when the man of God of this house gives you a direction, corporately asking for whatever it is that he asks for, or the leadership of this house, follow that corporately. You can do whatever you can do in silence, but release the barriers from yourself on restrictions on what God can do, because we don't know. As your faith is, so be it unto you.
Lord Father, we just come to you, Lord. We just pray for her situation, Lord Father. We just come into agreement right now, Lord, that you are a provider of everything, Lord Father, that we need. So, Lord Father, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we're just asking, Lord, provide this home for her, wherever it is, however it is, and whatever the situation it is, it's your plan. But we just pray right now, Lord, we release, Lord Father, this plan and for her right now. We release this home in Jesus' name. Lord Father, Psalm 91:11 says we activate angels concerning you. So, Lord Father, we just pray, Lord Father, that you would guide and bring those ministering angels to her and to just like in the book of Acts where the angel went in and broke those cells open for Peter and them to be released from prison. So, Lord Father, we, Lord Father, ask, Lord, that you bring those angels with a key for her to have a home. Lord Father, we just release that in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that we provide, that you provide for us. And Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and your righteousness. All these things will be provided for you. So we know, Lord, and we believe and have faith that you are going to provide for her. And we thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else want anything to add? Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus.
Great. That's really great. There's been a lot of great teachings over the years and the fastings. I used to have a really good book, one. It just highlights, pinpoints so much, and give that to one of the local area pastors. I have to get another one from Miss Steffi here. And but one of the things, example, is two. Michael Bickle, for years in the IHOP, has done a weekly fast besides this other fast, but they commit one day a week. They call it the bridegroom fast. And Jack Frost, he is just one of the ministers that just ministered in a great way to me. And when he'd come and he'd minister, it would be incredible. And he passed away, and then his wife came, and she had one of the teaching series, and was from Jack. And it was all on fasting. It's like you pull behind the curtain. You think, how did he get there? What did he do? What was the secret? And he goes into this lengthy, lengthy teaching on the fasting and fasting and fasting. And it was just a, yeah, yeah, it was amazing. So thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Todd White, too. He fasts weekly. That's one thing that you were touching on is the fact that the power in fasting, okay? And I'm seeking it. I haven't figured it all out, so don't think like I'm like master of it, because I'm not. But I'm seeking it. And in the Franklin Hall book, it lists testimonies of people, testimony, testimony, testimony. And one of those testimonies was that one person fasted, I can't remember, I think 40 days or 70 days, just water, and they actually gained weight. That's amazing, right? I think, yeah. I just weighed my. I'm happy. That's funny. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's so good. That's so. When I did the 21-day fast, I was telling the Lord, I'm happy where the weight I am, and I don't want to lose weight. I totally told him I didn't want to lose weight. I think that 21-day fast, I lost 3 pounds. That was it. Because I didn't want to lose weight. I'm just happy where I am. But there's just this, just come and understand, there's this supernatural power with the fasting. You know, and we're all seeking that, you know. And that Franklin Hall, please read that book. There's two books. They're really an easy read. I think they're only like 100 pages each or something like that. They're really like small books. Really, really good stuff, though. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus.